First Peter chapter number 4. If you have your Bibles this morning and want to turn or are able to turn, First Peter chapter number 4. We'll read just a couple of verses here. Try our best to give you what the Lord has put on our heart for the service this morning. And trust that He'll help us. Trust that You'll pray for us. Certainly realize and understand that we can't do anything without Him. Need His help today. And been pondering on this for the last few days. And the heart seems very burdened for the service this morning. And I trust the Lord will help us in the Word of God. I'm glad it still works. The Bible said that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm glad it can still get where it needs to go. The Lord said His Word would never return unto Him void, but always accomplish that which He pleases. And I trust that it will accomplish His will this morning, find its way into each and every one of our hearts, challenge us. And my prayer is that we'll leave here better than we come because of what the Lord has done through His Word and the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts today. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I just want to read two verses and then try our best to give you what's on our heart for the service this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Father, I come to You, Lord, this morning, and I thank You, Lord, for this privilege, this opportunity to be able to assemble in this manner. I thank You for each one that's come, Lord, for their presence here today. I'm grateful and thankful to see each one. What a blessing, Lord, that it is. I know that things are not in our normal way, but I'm glad to be able to assemble and see each one today. I thank You, Lord, for the portion of Scripture You've directed our heart to and the thoughts that You put on our heart for the service this morning. Lord, now I ask for that touch and unction that no man is able to preach about. Realize, Lord, that within myself I can do nothing. I am unable without Your help to do anything, Lord, that would be of any eternal value. Lord, we don't want to be just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I don't want to just go through the motions or through some ritual or some routine. But, oh, Lord, today would the Holy Ghost feel free to come among us and do a work in us that only He can do. Would You empty us of ourselves today, oh, Lord, and would You fill us with You, that power, that touch, that unction that no man is able to preach without. Would You thoroughly furnish us today and equip us to be able to preach the gospel as You put it on our heart today. May the Word of God go forth in power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. May it find its lodging in the hearts of the hearers. May it do the great work that You have for it to do. May we leave here, Lord, better because of what You've done for us. And Lord, above everything that's said or done, may You get glory and may You get honor unto Your high and Your holy name. Whatsoever You please to do in and through and for us, we'll bow these unworthy heads and say You've done it all. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Read these verses here in 1 Peter chapter number 4. Verse 12 and 13 is what we read into your hearing this morning. And the Apostle Peter here is talking about trials. And that's what's on my heart today, is this word trial, or to be tried. He says it in verse number 12. He says, "Beloved." So he's talking to the believer, to the child of God, to the church, to those that are saved by the grace of God. And he calls them beloved. And he says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And so here in this verse twice, he has mentioned this thought or this idea of being tried by God. And so as I began to think about this, and over the last few days, my heart's been heavy, and I pray that God will help me to preach this to you today like He's put it in my heart. I pray that He will, and believe He will, if you'll pray and ask the Lord to help us today. But I thought about this word trial. It means a test of character. It means to show what you really are deep down on the inside. I remember growing up and going to the Christian school. The administrator that I had before that I graduated, now I'm there. He always used to say that your character is what you are when nobody else is looking. A lot of people are able to come to church and they put on some show or some mask or some facade. They are very religious when the church is going on or when the preacher's around or when others are around, but your character is what you really are when no one's looking. And the reality of the matter is that there never is a time, if you really think about it and get down to where the rubber meets the road, there never is a time when nobody's looking, for God sees all things, and so He sees what you are, really what you are deep down on the inside. And so this trial is a test to produce true character inside of you. Now what we're talking about this morning, it's not a trial by the world, it's not a trial by the devil, but it is a trial by God. It is a test of our faith. That's what Peter here is talking about. He mentions it again in chapter number 1 and verse number 7. He said it is the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That is, your faith is much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. And so we're talking about a trial of our faith. And so he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. This word try means approving of one's character. It is the application of the test in our life. Peter said not only is there a test, but he said there's going to come a day that you're going to have to take the test, or the test is going to be put to you, and it's going to try your faith. He mentions it and as a way of comfort, I believe. He addresses these believers here, and he says, think it not strange. That word strange means, one writer said, to not take it like you're the only one that's ever been in this shape. But I believe that every child of God that's ever been saved by the grace of God, there will be a day in your life that your faith will be tested, and it will be tried, and you're going to have to be put to the test. And so as I begin to think about that, and all the things that are going on in our day, all the tribulation, all the turmoil, all the uproar, and all the unrest, God began to speak to my heart in a very sober way. And I've been thinking about it for days now, and I feel like God was asking me the question, and I want to ask you the question this morning: will you pass the test? That's what's been rolling in my heart for days. Will I pass the test? When God comes where I am and begins to put my faith to the test. Now God's the only one, if I read my Bible right and study right, the Holy Ghost begin to speak to my heart and let me know that God's the only one that's qualified to try your faith. The world may try your patience. I've heard many times growing up, my grandmother raised me, and she'd say, and my mama, and they did their best, and I thank God for them, but they'd say, you're trying my patience. And the world may try our patience, and the devil may try our resolve. He may get us to the place like old Job was, when through the wives she said, you might as well just curse God and die. There's no point in holding out. There's no point in going on. How many many times in your life has the devil tried your resolve and said, well, if it is like it is, I mean, if this is all there is to it, is there really any need to go on? Is there really any need to continue? And the world may test our patience and the devil may test our resolve, but thanks be unto God, God's the only one that's qualified to try our faith. It was a gift from Him in the first place, that precious faith that Paul said the life that he now lives. He said, I'm crucified with Christ in salvation. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so what Paul was saying is faith. I believe if you study the words in Ephesians chapter 2 and study the language, it said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That is faith. It's not of yourself. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is not of yourself, but neither is faith. And so if faith belongs to God, and so if He's given it to you, then there's going to be a testing and a trial come through. But it'll be God. Rest assured, child of God, this morning, that if your faith's being tested, and I believe in this day, looking around at all the things that are going on in our world, I believe that God is putting to the test the faith of His children today. I do believe that. I understand. And I was talking with another preacher last night, and I'm just wired, and I guess I was asking him a little bit what he thought about it, but just my personality and the way I'm wired, I didn't say anything about this, what I was preaching today. It just does me good to bounce my thoughts off of somebody else. And so I was talking to him last night, and he said, you know, everybody around is looking, and the world seems like it's falling apart. And I said, oh yes, I believe that this thing that's going on in our day, I know there's probably great significance that I may not understand, but I know enough to know what the Holy Ghost has showed me. And I believe in this day that all the things that are going on in our day, all these stipulations, all these regulations, we get aggravated, we get frustrated, but God is testing, I believe, our faith. Too long we put our faith in America. I'm talking about as the people of God. I appreciate my country. I'd fight for it a day if the call came. But my faith don't belong in America. And my faith don't belong in the American dream. And my faith don't belong in the American system. But too long, the church has put her faith in America and in what we call ordinary, normal, everyday life. And when things get disrupted, we lose our sense of faith because our faith's not where it belongs. And so I believe in these days that God's a test in our faith to break us away. Peter said it was a fiery trial. That word fiery refers to the refiner's fire. When they put the silver and the gold and they burn away the dross, all the things that ought not be there, all the things that taint its purity, and pure comes out in the end. I believe God through all of this is putting us to the test. I don't know about you, I believe He is, but I know about myself. And I believe God's putting my heart to the test and my faith to the test. And I'm trying to burn away the stuff that ought not to be there so that pure will come through. And in my heart, it keeps rolling over. Will I pass the test? I wonder about you. Will you pass the test? Is there something that stands in your way? Is there something that'll hinder you making it through what God is trying to do in your life? For many people this morning, they're too familiar with their old ways to ever turn loose of what they consider to be the normal life. They want normal back. And I'm here this morning to say, I'd like to have some normalcy back too. I'd like to go in the building. I'd like to assemble together in the building. But what if that never comes? I mean, we got to think about some things this morning. And I'm not trying to get too extreme and too way out there. I'm just trying to preach the hats on my heart. And I don't want you to go away and say the preacher said that we'd never get to go in the building again. That's not what I'm saying. But what if we don't? What if our sense of normalcy never returns? Are we going to quit on God and go to the house just because we can't go in the building? I mean, what if America crumbles? What if she falls? You say, preacher, you ought not to preach like that. It's in my heart, and I feel like I have to. I don't enjoy it, but it's in me. What if America crumbles to the ground? What if religious freedom's gone tomorrow? You know what's going to happen? False accusers, false professors are going to fall, and the church is going to be purged, and she's going to be tried. And I tell you what's going to happen, and it's a working in my heart this morning and encouraging me to know that should America fall, should we never get to go back in the church, we're still the church, and we'll come out better on the other side than we went into the fire. Job said he knoweth the way I take, and when he had tried me, I'll come forth as gold. You see, this test is not to destroy you. It's not to discourage you. It's not to hinder or hurt you. Many people would have you believe so. They preach it like what's going on. It's trying to harm and hinder us. But if it's coming from God, I know there's a lot of stuff that ain't from God. I know there's a lot of filth and ungodliness that's going on in our day. But as far as the church is concerned, we're under a test. And it's time for us to pass the test that God's putting us in. Come forth better on the other side. To come out closer. That's God's goal. It's to burn everything off of you. To burn the binds. I thought about them boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they got through. The Bible said they were bound in their coats, their hats, and their hosen. They bound their legs, bound their arms. They couldn't do anything for themselves. They're just bound down. And I look around in this day, and if I was to be honest with you and say, it looks to me like the church is bound. We've had our arms tied and our legs tied. There's no power within. God ain't moving like He used to move. And it's time to go through the fire. You say, I don't like the fire. I don't like it either. It looks pretty bleak when you're going up to it. I thought about old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when them mighty men bound them and carried them toward the fire. I wonder what they really thought. I mean, I know their faith was strong, but they done told the king, if we burn up, we burn up. And so in their mind, there was the possibility. But the Bible said they threw them in, and they threw them in bound. But when they should have burned up, when everything should have been over, and the king stooped over and looked in, he said, did not we cast three men bound into the fiery furnace? They said, yea, O king. He said, behold, I see four men, and they're loose, and they're walking about in the fire. You say, what's happening, preacher? I don't know about what's happening to you, but too long have been some things in my life that have bound me down, and I'm still working on them, and you can work on yours too. But I'm glad to be in the fire this morning. I never thought I'd say that in my life, but it's feeling good in my heart. I don't know, I'm in God's fire, and He's burning some things off me and getting me where I need to be, where I can fellowship and commune with Him. If you told me this what it'd come to, I'd probably laugh at you. But I'm telling you, about every time we've met, the power of God's been real. You say, what's happening, preacher? We're in the fire. We may not like it, but He's burning some things off us and loosening us that we can walk with Him and worship Him. I'm glad to be in the fire this morning. I want to pass the test. Don't you? I understand what I'm saying this morning is not what we understand in our world today. What we understand, I'm not talking about the educational system and failing and passing and getting a grade. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say pass the test, I mean come through better on the other side. And to just let God have His way. And to not spend, I've been guilty. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you have been too. And I'm not trying to get down and get rough on you. Just get down where we're living. I've been guilty of complaining and griping about what we're having to do, but I'm just glad. God's put it in my heart just to be glad that we get to assemble together. It might take away some of the normalcy, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe God has our attention, and He can finally work on us and in us and through us. There's probably more folks hearing the gospel right now than has in 20 or 30 years. You don't think God can't work? He said all things work together for good unto them that love God. I serve a God that can work in the bad times just as much as He can in the good. And I just want to do my part in the fire and come through better on the other side. When I talk about passing the test, I just mean we just let the Lord have His way, His perfect work in us, because His work is perfect. We may not like His methods. We may not like His timing, but He's always on time, and He does all things well. And so I don't want some things in my life to hinder me or hamper me from making my way through the test and passing through it and coming out better on the other side. Do you? I want to pass the test. Too many today, and I'm not their judge, and I'm not belittling anybody by any means. Please don't get me wrong. And if you're watching by means of some other place and you're not here this morning, I'm not belittling you. But I'm telling you, so many people in this trial right now, and I understand. I don't know everything that's going on. I'm not standing up here professing to you that I know everything God's doing. I don't. There may be some prophetic significance to all these things that are going on. I don't know. All I know is this. God spoke to my heart and He said, I'm putting you in the fire and I'm putting the church in the fire, and it's time for us to pass the test. But there are too many of God's people out there today that are going to let their familiar way of life hinder them from passing in the test. All they can focus on is being like it used to be, like it used to be, like it used to be. And if we really get down to where it was, and the churches were dead and dry, and we're going through a rut and a routine, do we really want it to be like it used to be? Now, I understand. Now, I'm not belittling anybody this morning, because I've made the same statement. I understand what folks are saying is we want it to be where we can go back in. And I want to go back in, but I don't want to go back in any sooner than God says it's time to go back in. I don't want my familiarity with my circumstances, with how I think it ought to be. I don't want to let that keep me from passing the test. I really do think there may be some folks, I hope nobody here gets hurt at me, and there may be some folks that never tune back in, and that's okay, it's between them and God. But I really think we can go back too soon. If what I'm feeling in my heart's right, if what God spoke to my heart by the Holy Ghost and by His Word's right, and I'm not standing up here saying I've had some supernatural revelation, but I believe God has spoke to my heart, and He said, take comfort, take cheer, this is no strange thing. My people have been through the fire before, and they've always come out better on the other side. So let's not get too quick to come out of the fire. Let's stay as long as we need to stay, to burn all the binds off and to get loose and free to where God can have His perfect work in us. Let's pass the test. I don't want to let familiarity keep me from passing the test. And I'm going to say again, with everybody here that's here, you'll probably not find anybody that wants to go inside the building and preach like we used to preach as far as assembling together. You probably won't find anybody that wants it any more than me. But after God's been working on my heart, we'll stay in the parking lot for 2 years if that's what it takes to get through the fire and to have to get loose of the bands. I don't want to go in and worship bound down. You can't worship bound. I want them to burn off and to go in free and see sinners saved and revival break out. That's what can happen if we pass the test. And so I don't want familiarity to keep me from passing the test. I don't want the fear of the unknown to keep me from passing the test. There's a whole lot this morning that would run back to familiarity because of the fear of the unknown. Because God may be wanting you to get out somewhere where you've not been before. I think over there that day when the Lord began to speak to Peter, He began to speak to all His disciples and say, "Who do men say I am?" And they all began to give their, what other men were saying, "You're John the Baptist, you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets." And then the Lord said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord began to speak to Peter about the foundation of the church. And so I believe that God was not, the Lord was not saying that He would build His church on Peter. That may be what the Catholics believe, but that's not it. We're not built on Peter. But I believe in that instance and in other instances in the Word of God, Peter became a type of the church. And so if that's so, there's a day out there on the boat in the midst of it. Peter was a fisherman. He knew all about the boat. He knew all about the sea. He knew all about how to get her to land. He knew all about fishing. He knew all about that kind of stuff. That was familiar ground to him. But there came a day when the Lord come walking on the water. And Peter said, now if he's the type of the church, and I believe he is in this scripture, Peter said, "Lord, if it really is you, bid me come to you on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." And the next words in the Word of God is that Peter stepped out of the boat to go to Jesus on the water. And I don't know what you feel, and I don't know what you believe, but in my heart, I think the Lord's working through all this to cry out in the midnight air to the church and say, "It's time to get off the boat. It's time to come in my direction. Oh, you don't know anything about the water. You don't have any control over the water. I know it's not familiar. I know there's a fear of the unknown. But if you'll just step out and make your way to me, you can get to me and be in a place where nobody else has been." You understand that nobody else had ever walked on the water. Nobody else. All the others still in the boat. That was their familiar place. They were too afraid of the unknown, and so they stayed in the boat. It didn't change the fact they still belonged to Jesus. They were still His disciples. They were still His men. But Jesus was going to draw a line and make a difference between them and Peter on this day. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't feel qualified. I don't feel qualified to preach to you, much less to any other church or any other preacher. But if there's any other church besides ours, and my sole business is to preach to you, I understand that. And my heart's heavy for us here at Gospel Way. But I'm telling you, if there's other preachers, other churches that are tuning in this morning, or may tune in later on through the week, and you need some encouragement, don't bite your fingernails into the quick. Don't get aggravated and agitated. I've spent all my days in that until this week when the Lord said, "I'm drawing a line in the church. You can stay on the boat or get out of the boat, whichever you want. I'll just get out of the boat. How about you?" I'd rather not let fear and my familiarity keep me and hinder me from passing God's test. I want to come through the fire and come out better on the end than I was when I went in. So we can't let our fear. And I know we could stay right here with Peter, and I'm about done. We could stay here with Peter, and I could say, "Don't let your focus keep you from passing the test." Peter done good. Done real good. Got out of the boat when nobody else did. I hope some of you, in your heart, God's working in you to get out of the boat. Take a few steps on the water. But if you're not careful in that time, when you feel like you have victory over the boat, you feel like you have victory over your fear, you have victory over your familiarity, if you're not careful when you're an overcomer, and that's the times you're most prone to be overcome. The Bible said that Peter got to looking, saw the wind boisterous and the sea raging, and his focus changed. It was no longer on Jesus and how to get to Him. But now his focus is on his circumstances and the situation around him and all the storm that's going on. And in the midst of all that, he begins to sink. And I'm telling you this morning, you can walk on water if you need to and if you want to. God has no problem walking you on the water. There's an old preacher in Kentucky, one of my heroes, preached a message. It's on sermon audio. Y'all look it up sometime. And the title of the message is How to Walk on the Water. And I'm telling you this morning that you can walk on the water of the storms of your life. If you'll just trust God, keep your focus on Him, He'll bring you through the test and you'll come out better on the other side. So the question on my heart this morning to ask you, and the question I feel like the Lord has asked me, is will you pass the test? It's not a question I can answer for you. It's a question you're going to have to ask yourself and answer for yourself. Are we so stuck on familiarity? Are we so stuck on our fear? Is our focus right this morning? We're going through this test, this trial, and this turmoil. Will we pass it? This test is not satanic oppression. In my opinion, what God's put in my heart. We're not, our faith's not being tested by Satan. He can't do that. And we're not in this alone. Peter said it's not some strange thing that's happening to you. I read this morning, just getting ready to come to church and trying to meditate on the things that God had already put on my heart. And I got to thinking about that word strange and about the fact that we're not the first that's ever been through the trial. And the Lord directed my mind over there to Hebrews chapter 11, down about verse number 36, I think, where the word is others. And the writer there said, and others had a trial. And we're in that same trial today. Our circumstances may be different. How the fire and the trial got here may be different, but it's all a work of God to be overcome by our faith. Will you pass the test? How is it in your heart? How is your resolve this morning? What is God speaking to you? What is working inside of you through all of this? Maybe you're like me. And there's been some frustration and some aggravation. And you tried to figure it out and you just want to get back to normal. And I'm not criticizing that at all. I want to get back like it used to be as far as being able to assemble together. But for the first time in all of this, the Lord has spoke to my heart and said, don't outrun the fire. Don't overrun the test. Just stay where you are. Let me take control and pass the test. I'm tired. I'm just going to be honest, and I'm done this morning. I'm tired of watching the news. I'm tired of seeing what they've posted on social media. I'm tired of hearing about this not changing and that's not changing. And I used to honestly, And I'm just being honest within myself. We might as well be. We never get anywhere without being honest. Sometimes I guess confession's good for the soul. But I spent many of these weeks just constantly watching and reading and trying to figure out how soon it can get back to normal. How soon can it get back to normal? Until this week, God spoke to my heart. And I don't know that I'm ready for normal. I just want to stay in the fire as long as God says to me and pass the test He's got us in. I want to come out better on the other side. I don't want to. Can I just preach my heart for just a minute? If time lasts and the Lord don't come 20 or 30 years down the road when my children are grown and they have children of their own, and we look back on the year 2020, I don't want to just look back and say, well, that was a time that we were forced by the government to just have church outside, and we did what we had to do, and as quick as we could, we just got back in the church and went on about our routine. I don't want to say that. But I want to look back at them these days, in them days if they come, and say, honey, let me tell you about the revival of 2020. When everybody else wants to talk about the quarantine and all the problems and all, and I'm not belittling the sickness. I know people are sick. I know people are dying. But I'm talking about spiritual things here this morning. I want to be able to look back and say there's a day when God broke the rut and the routine of the local church and put us outside where we had to be unfamiliar. But He put us right in the fire, right where we needed to be, right where He wanted us to be, and burnt the binds off of us and loosed us, and we experienced one of the greatest revivals of my day in that day. That's what I want to look back on this day and remember. And so if the Lord decides in 2 weeks it's time to go back in the building, wonder, and it's not just about going in the building, it's everything. If the Lord decides in 2 weeks the fire's over, that's fine. It's His prerogative. But if 2 months pass by and we're still in the fire, let's stay in the fire and get where God wants us to be. I want to pass the test. How about you this morning? I know it's a different atmosphere and as far as our surroundings, but I'm going to tell you something. We may be in unfamiliar surroundings as far as not being in the building, but the atmosphere out here is just as real as it is when we're in there. And the Lord's here this morning. And He's been working in my heart. And I've had to tell Him I'm sorry for trying to get out of this, that I'm sorry I didn't have the discernment to see as much as I probably should, that it's from Him, that He wants this for us, that it's for our good, that my faith, maybe it wasn't in Him as much as it ought to be. Maybe I'd put too much faith in America, in our system, in our everyday life, and I need to put my faith in Him again. Maybe God spoke to your heart this morning. I wouldn't care what people thought of me. I wouldn't care what it looked like. It don't matter to me that there ain't a mourner's bench up here. It don't matter to me that there ain't no built altar. And I'm not trying to defy anything or do anything wrong. But it's in my heart, the Lord's speaking to my heart to tell you that if you need to come, you can find a place in the gravel. You can space yourself out. It don't make no never mind to me. If God's speaking to your heart about staying in the trial and passing the test, you can find a place. You can bow down beside your car. Don't matter to me. Just find your place. If God's speaking to you, beg Him for help to strengthen your faith, to stand the test, to stand the trial, to come through better on the other side. We need His help today. Some have come. I believe others need to. That's between you and God. You do what you feel you need to do, what you ought to do. If you just want to slip out of your seat, as I said, and bow beside your car, don't matter to me. Whatever God's working in you, whatever He's speaking to you, I'd do business, I'd talk to Him, I'd get help this morning. God help me. not to overrun the trial. Help me, Lord, not to be in such shape, but I'm just so focused on getting out, getting out, getting out. Let's spend some time in and see what God wants to do. Oh, I'm sure that fire didn't look too good to them Hebrew boys. I'm sure on their way in, they're thinking, Lord, if you're going to get us out of here, would you get us out of here quick? But they had to spend some days, some time, some hours in the fire. And in all the time they spent in the fire, they come out better than they went in. And not only did they come out better, but when they come out, the king, this heathen king that knew nothing about God, said, there is no other God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, what happened? I'm saying they had revival in that day, if that's what you want to call it. And we can have it in ours. God can work and is working. Let's just submit ourselves to Him. Stay in the fire as long as we need to stay. Trust God with all that's in us to know that this trial is not strange. We're not the only ones. We'll not be the only ones. As a church, I'm so grateful for our church. I'm so grateful for everything God's given. I couldn't ask for better people. I couldn't ask for a better place. I couldn't ask for anything more. My heart's content, but we're not even the only church in the fire. We can all come out better on the other side. And I understand that we can do whatever God puts in our heart, regardless of what other churches do. But what if every church took this stand? What if every church and every church member resolved in them to stay in the fire as long as God said? How much better would we come out on the other side? What an unstoppable force would be birthed in the fire. I want to pass the test. And I know you do too. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, today for this privilege. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to have bowed, call on your name again. Thank you for the privilege to have been able to assemble together in this manner and to have been an experiencer of your power and your presence this morning around the house of God. Lord, that we may not be in the building, but Lord, that my heart is drawn to old Jacob that day when he stood up that stone and called it Bethel and said, surely the Lord's in this place. This is the house of God. Lord, there may be no roof over us. We just gathered in the parking lot, but I want to say that this is Bethel. This is the house of God. The Lord is in this place. And I'm so glad you're working. I thank you for it. Thank you for what you spoke to my heart in these days. And I pray you'd speak to the hearts of others. Bless each and every one that's here. Bless those that are watching in other places. Help us, Lord, as your people to stay in the fire as long as you see fit. And may your great work come through it all. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. For I ask what I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen.